Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Let's get to it. The pineal gland. Pineal gland. You know the word melatonin. Sure you do. Everybody's tried it for that deeper sleep. If you're an insomniac, surely you've tried it. Speaking of which, you guys out there that can't sleep, 9 times out of 10, so let's do the straight talk thing. 9 times out of 10, when you can't sleep, when you suffer from chronic insomnia, the answer, as always, 9 times out of 10, no, it's not melatonin. No, it's not L-tryptophan. No, it's not valerian. No, it's not kava-kava. No, it's not 5-HTP. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Get healthy. Health is the threshold across which you start to relax behind who you are, what you are, why you are, and where you are. And even if you're sick and you can't sleep, when you start to relax behind that, guess what? You start to sleep. This isn't a show about sleep, but surely, if you know the word melatonin, you know the word pineal gland. Today's show is about a deeper level of understanding, the real pineal gland. Yeah, the one that produces the melatonin, but this show is about the pineal underneath the pineal, the pineal that they didn't tell you about in school. As always, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. If you're driving, I'll do the best I can. If you haven't purchased the archives to get access to the pictures, please do. That's straighttalk.cc. Look at the pictures I have for you today. The pineal gland. I want you to know where it is. Where it is. If you put your finger on your forehead, right between your eyebrows, and go back about 3 inches or so, you'll be in the region of the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the pineal. I want you to get an appreciation of that relationship. So look at picture number 5. Look at that beautiful picture. Number 5. If you're driving, just picture somebody cutting your head in half, and they're looking in at the profile view. Half of your brain has been peeled open, and they're looking into the other half. If you're on the website, straighttalk.cc, picture number 5, that's what you're looking at, a sagittal cut of the brain. In the yellow, the pituitary, the hypothalamus, and in the purple, the pineal gland. There it is. Now that's deep inside you. Descartes, French philosopher, mathematician, called it the seat of the soul. Oh, well, you know those guys 300-400 years ago. What did they know? He called it the seat of the soul. Oh, that's just poetry. That's the way they talked back then. In the Old Testament, they didn't even know how to count. Moses lived to be 900 years. Who knows what that means? It might have meant 90 years. They just didn't know how to multiply back then. They were stupid. They were still in some earlier phase of development. No, no, no. And you get my point. Descartes had a clue that this gland had something to do with the soul. That's why he said it. But what does he know? We don't like the French characteristically in America. Isn't that the cliche? For some it is. Henny had long hair like a hippie. Take a look at that. A name celebrated over the centuries. An obvious man of genius. Here's something that'll really perk you up. Look at picture number 7. The third eye. Look at that. That's an Egyptian enneagram. That's off a temple in Egypt. long before Rene Descartes lived. And we think it means something. Well, the Egyptian Enneagram is the Eye of Horus. Horus is an Egyptian god. We don't need to get into that. But its resemblance to what I showed you in picture number 5, its resemblance is spooky. Look at that. That relationship with people who knew nothing, supposedly, of science, who knew nothing, supposedly, of what we would call the scientific revolution, who lived and ruled a long, 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 long time ago. That some say this Enneagram went up a good 12,000 years ago. That's a debate within archaeology itself. Some say the Sphinx. See The Mystery of the Sphinx, 1986, John Anthony West. See that. It won an Emmy. We'll use Hollywood here, because that's where we all get our truth, right? From Hollywood. In 1986, they gave the Emmy to Mystery of the Sphinx. Scholars, men of high intelligence, pointing out that the Sphinx could not possibly have been erected 4,000 BC. There was water erosion that could have only come from monsoon-like rains, drenching torrents of monsoon-like rain that indicate the Sphinx may have gone back a good 12,000 years. Don't want to go into it. Just want to throw it out there for those of you who are extra inquisitive. But nonetheless, what is this doing? Whenever it was inscribed into granite, what is it doing? It mirrors the relationship between the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the pineal. Pineal, the cone, the great cone. Oh, wait, you need a view of it, a better view. Let's give you a better view of the pineal gland. Go all the way down. My tech did not number these pictures today. I'm very sorry about that. The fourth one from the end. The fourth picture from the last picture. We're going to have to do it that way, guys. The fourth picture from the last picture. Take a look at that picture. What is that? That is your brain. It's called the midbrain. Midbrain. Down on the bottom of that picture where it streamlines, that's the beginning of your spinal cord. So if you go to the top of your neck and deep inside where the spinal cord lives, go up about 2, 3, 4 inches, up and towards your nose. And this picture's there. Now take a look at that picture and take a look. We're going to come back to this picture later. Take a look at that picture. And on the left-hand side up top, the third word down, pineal gland. Derived from Latin, derived from Greek, derived from Egyptian, derived from who knows what before that. Mankind, over thousands and thousands of years, take it any way you want. From biblical times, and if you believe the earth is no older than 6,000, 7,000 years old, so be it. If you believe, as many, that the earth goes back far, far, far further than that, then so be it. No matter which way you cut it, mankind, priests, kings, poets, have looked at that picture and been filled with some sort of mystical awe. Now, no one can deny that. And if it doesn't fill your husband or your wife or your friends, they just might have a lower consciousness. Yes, I'm going to use the word lower. We are in a state of evolution. And just assuredly, as there's something about holistic medicine that draws you, that does not draw your neighbor, that does not draw your husband, that does not draw your wife, your cousins, your friends, just assuredly as you're the outsider, just assuredly that you function in the world, that you have your successes, your expertises, just as sure as you can multitask perhaps faster than them, just as sure as that, just as sure as there's something about that picture that drew Descartes to it, that drew the Egyptians to it, that may have drawn our own Vatican to it, the Pope. The pineal gland has always been looked upon as a cone, pineal, as a cone-shaped, what some say, what some in evolutionary biology say is a vestigial organ. It's a photoreceptor. It talks to light, light that comes through the pupil, light that doesn't come through the pupil after you've had your lenses cut and plastic ones put in. Jot that one down the next time you think of a cataract and the surgery. Light that comes through the pupil. Light that may not come through the pupil as you wear your contact lenses. Light that might not come through the pupil as correctly if, in fact, you've had that eye corrective surgery. You know that easy one that Dr. Musa does? As many other ophthalmologists, they advertise this surgery to change the tension on the lens. Okay, not knocking it. Not knocking Dr. Musa. But you have to think about that. You have to think about that Descartes may have been correct. That gland may be the seat to the soul. I'm going to present an argument today, a powerful argument, an argument with a lot of science behind it. And then it's just common sense. 50 years from now, we won't be having these arguments. I won't be talking about these topics because these topics will be old school. They'll be, would I do a show? Would you listen to a show telling you, like it's news, that cigarettes are bad for your health? Would you do that? I could have done this show in 1960. That would have been news. Needless, senseless hysterectomies. I could have done this show in 1890. Only I would have done it the Market Square, telling women not to have their clitorises cut. Yes, clitorectomies. Physician in Sexuality in Victorian America, J. Holler and Holler, a work of scholarship. I could have done that show at the Market Square on the East Coast in the 1870s. We wouldn't do that now, would we? That's old hat. Cigarettes cause cancer. That's old hat. Women don't need hysterectomies 90% of the time they get them. That's old hat. I could have launched a campaign in the 1890s saying that women could play basketball and that their uteruses and vaginas wouldn't prolapse out their orifices. But that's what they were telling you in 1895 when Dr. Naismith invented basketball. The young ladies at Radcliffe, future Columbia, were told don't at Wesleyan, were told don't play basketball, don't move. By golly, when Jack LaLanne was a little boy, he was told if you lift weights, you'll lose your mind. We have committed a string of stupidities, a string of atrocities, a string of idiocies in the name of higher wisdom from the beginning of time. But not you. How did that correlate on your last IQ test? When was the last time under the weight of conventional perspective, did you stand tall? Did you feel esteemed while the birds picked your liver apart? When did you relax behind that view of yours that went deeper? If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I'm here to get you to stand behind yourself. That's what Rene Descartes was about. That's what the Vatican, well, take a look at this picture at the Vatican, picture number 8. Just a simple little artistic thing. It doesn't mean a thing. Now take a look at that picture. Remember in the Da Vinci Code? Remember in Tom Hanks and Angels and Demons? What is Robert Langdon? What is Robert Langdon? Okay, you got it. 3 bottles of Rishi. I want you to get on the comment line. Do not call. Sorry. Get on the website and get to the comment section. Comment. Answer this question for me. In the Da Vinci Code, in Angels and Demons, what is Robert Langdon, the main character, played by Tom Hanks? 2 wonderful, wonderful films. Dan Brown's book, The Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown's book, Angels and Demons.